Jesus spoke regularly of the kingdom of God. Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven because Matthew, with Jewish heritage, didn't want to name God and therefore reduce him. But Jesus, speaking to a general audience, speaks of kingdom of God. He tells parables about it, asks people to imagine what this would look like, and then in two brief verses, only appearing in the Gospel of Luke, a brief conversation. Listen. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming. And he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." This is the word of the Lord. It's a number of years ago, 13 years in fact, that my wife and I discovered the exact location of the kingdom of God. Since you are religious folks, I figured you'd like to know where it is. It's on a lake in Western Canada, 14.9 kilometers from the Bow River Parkway. It's Moraine Lake. You get there by flying to Calgary and driving a rental car about 2 hours west. First, you pass through the resort town of Canmore, and then go through the gates of Banff National Park. You take the exit for Lake Louise, curve around and go up the hill, but before you get to Lake Louise, you hang a left. There's a small sign that's easy to miss. You go down that winding two-lane road about 9 miles, and there it is, Moraine Lake. It is difficult for me to explain how grand it is, how beautiful it is. If you happen by chance to have a Canadian $20 bill in your wallet, printed from 1979 to 1989, you can turn it over and there will be the scene. It's that iconic. Here's this beautiful, pristine lake, untouched by chemicals or motorboats. Around the lake are 10 mountain peaks, all of them over 10,000 feet high. You climb a large rock pile at the base of the lake. It'll take about 45 minutes, but the scene is spectacular. The lake is a surreal aquamarine created by the granite dust of glaciers, which now refract the light. My wife calls it the most peaceful spot on earth, and with an eagle soaring over my head, I felt extremely close to God. We've been there twice. 3 years ago, we returned, stood in silence, held hands, and took in the extraordinary beauty. One of our dreams someday is to rent a log cabin on the shore of that lake and spend a few weeks there. Because I tell you, it is ground zero for the kingdom of God. Well, you would think so. Then a busload of tourists came in and I began to wonder. Not far from there, as I mentioned, is Lake Louise, the most photographed lake in the world. It's another pretty one, but it is overrun by people with cameras. Last time we were there, we couldn't get within 2 miles of the parking lot, and the Mounties on their horses were turning everybody away. So we escaped 9 miles down the two-lane road to Moraine Lake again. It's harder to find, and my wife likes it a lot more. So we climbed again to the top of the rock pile, took in the uncrowded view. It was extraordinary. Until the ranger came and said, "You better watch out for the grizzly bear and her cubs." Whoops, didn't know about them. Maybe we should get on our way. The hair on the back of my neck was standing up. But while we were there, I thought, okay, well, before we go, I will check into the cost of one of those cabins, if we ever can get back here. The cabin was pristine. They came in different sizes. The smallest one was only $524 a night plus taxes. So 14 days would equal about 4 mortgage payments on my house. With that, we got into the rental car and drove away. And as we're winding down the narrow road, she looks up from the travel guide and says, "You know, this road is only open 4 months a year. They get hundreds of inches of snow, and the lake doesn't thaw until the middle of June." So now I can hear some of the snowbirds among us saying, "That lake is definitely not the kingdom of God." So where is the exact location? It's not 14.9 kilometers from the Bow River Parkway, but a lot of us would like to find that place of complete beauty, the place of perfect peace, the place that lifts our souls and spirits, a place where we feel close to God. And even if we don't use religious language to name it, a lot of people look to rent or buy a place in the mountains or down at the shore. Sometimes they will even create a space of their own, like my friend in New Jersey. He built a shack in his backyard. "It's my man cave," he said. Put a flat screen TV, lazy boy chair with a cup holder, a humidor full of expensive Cuban cigars, and soundproof walls. "That's intentional," he said. Now, when people talk like this, perhaps they are confusing the kingdom of God with the Garden of Eden. What they want is to return to Eden, the beautiful garden where the grass never gets very long, the weeds stay at bay, and everything is in place. But even if you could find Eden, we can't go back. The book of Genesis says you can't go back. Eden now has a no trespassing sign and a big, strong angel with a flaming sword to keep you out. We don't live in paradise. It's not the world we're called to live in. But we can live in the kingdom of God. So where is the exact location of the kingdom? Where is it? Is it, I don't think it's owning a condo on the side of a ski slope or a bungalow beside the sea. It's not all the places that people usually look for. In the day of Jesus, some people wanted to know, where is it? Some of them were religious experts. "When's this kingdom coming that you're talking about? How will we know it?" And his answer is extremely curious. He says, "You won't be able to see it. Won't be able to say, here it is or there it is." And when Luke reports this, he adds an even more curious answer. Jesus says the kingdom of God is, and I'll use the Greek preposition, the kingdom of God is entos you. Entos is an unusual preposition. You can translate it into English 3 different ways. Each one is grammatically correct, so there's some divine ambiguity in the lesson. Well, the way I first heard it is the way it appears in the King James Bible. The kingdom of God is within you. That is, it's not out there, it's in here. You can translate the verse that way, and many, many people will cheer and affirm and say, that's it, because to have a kingdom is to recognize a king. That's a quality of heart. It's giving your allegiance. There's a lot of truth to that. People will go looking all over creation for this, and it's already inside us. And if that's true, it means that we can never neglect the discipline of prayer, the reflection of study, the quality of silence, or the work of worship. We must take responsibility to keep our faith alive And if we don't do this, we will fizzle out, especially when the tough times come. In my own faith journey, there have been times and occasions when I've been grateful to have a very clear sense that God does rule over all, a sense that I can trust my life and my world to God's dominion. And if you trust that in your heart, Jesus suggests that the kingdom is within you. So a few years ago, I spent my birthday on the cardiac floor of a local hospital. I wasn't there to visit one of you. I was a patient in one of the beds. At noon, the day started by eating a big greasy hamburger at Five Guys. And afterwards, I said to my friend Virginia, I have some pain in my chest. Go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor. The doctor put me in a hospital bed. They stuck the electrodes on my shaved chest. And a nice nurse came by to say there would be no chocolate cake that night with candles. Turns out it was pleurisy, inflammation from a lung infection. I would be okay, but we didn't know that for a couple of days because if you go in on a Thursday night, you're pretty much there until a Monday, unless you have incompetent staff, and then they keep you to Tuesday at 5. So you stay in the most expensive real estate in the city. Now, I don't know if you've ever spent 5 nights in the cardiac floor. It's not a very restful place, especially in February. Every time you're ready to drift off to sleep at 3 in the morning, the buzzer may sound, a voice announces somebody is coding, and if that doesn't drive you to prayer, nothing will. The only way I could get through it was by casting myself into God's hands and saying, catch me. And then my prayers would picture all the truly sick people being held in God's hands too. God be with all the people on this floor. God be with me. And then a peace might come over me, and I knew I could get through. You've had those times too. Maybe in the middle of fear, maybe in the middle of confusion, maybe in exuberant joy, or maybe even fussing about tonight's slugfest in St. Louis. You pray, you hand it over to God, and you want and hope for some unexpected joy to come upon you. And if it does, you know the exact location of the kingdom of God. It's not 14.9 kilometers from somewhere. It is deep within your soul. But that is not the only translation of entos. Newer translations, like the New Revised Standard, our pulpit Bible, say the kingdom of God is among you. That is, it's a communal reality. It's lived out in a group of people. That is, it's not only something inside us, it's something shared with others. It's like those early stories of the Christian church where everybody shared their possessions openly and looked out for one another. It's like what the novelist Leo Tolstoy wrote about in the book that had to be smuggled out of Russia and printed illegally in Germany. Imagine a society, he said, built around the Sermon on the Mount, all the red letter teachings of Jesus, nonviolence, forgiving, resisting revenge, refusing to take advantage of others and demean them. Yes, indeed, imagine that. Now, we don't have to look very far in a church like this to know how that looks. Just 2 weeks ago, many of us experienced that marvelous worship through service day. Did you see the photos? Have you heard the stories? We painted a daycare center. We fixed up a few properties. We delivered necessary supplies to a battered woman's shelter. We sorted and distributed books. We made music for a rehab clinic. And the best part is we did this together. This is the kingdom of God as a social reality, an expression of God's grace through the hearts and hands of a group of people. It happened among us. I know how good this makes you feel. You haven't stopped talking about it with me. You have a shared understanding of what church can be and what we are when we are at our best. Jesus said the kingdom is among you. But there is a third way to translate that word entos. Not only is the kingdom of God within us, not only is the kingdom of God among us, the kingdom of God, says Jesus, is within your reach. That's the other way to translate it. We reach for the kingdom of God. One footnote in the ESV translation says it's within your grasp. But that means you have to stretch for it, reach for it, strive for it, and it's going to take some reaching. So think about your life and all the things for which we have reached. In the cradle, you reach for the sunbeam. In the playground, you reach for the monkey bars. At the Thanksgiving table, you reach for the pumpkin pie. We reach for good grades, we reach for the car keys, we reach for a good school, we reach for a good job, we reach for a good mate, we reach for a sense of security. We never stop reaching. And maybe that's because in our DNA, we are created to keep reaching. As someone has said, this incessant pursuit of an ever-fugitive satisfaction springs from troubled depths within the human soul. I like how St. Augustine nailed it perfectly in the first chapter of his Confessions. O God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Of course we're reaching, always reaching, until we trust that we are in God's embrace. So where's the kingdom of God? Within, among, slightly beyond, all the above, all of it. The kingdom of God is within. Of course it's within. But if it's only within, it's not big enough to be God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is among us. Yes, wherever there is grace and justice and peace, the kingdom is there. But if you work for grace and justice and peace, you know it's exhausting work and you need something more than the work. And the kingdom of God is within and among, but it's also something we keep striving for, because faith will never be satisfied with the human status quo. Our deepest hunger is for God to rule over us and among us and beyond us. So where is it? Is it beside the mountain lake? Within the hospital room, among the fellowship of Christian co-workers, or is it something for which we reach, strive, and labor? The answer is yes. And when we live in the merciful dominion of God that the Bible calls the kingdom, our restless human hearts will find their rest.